Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting today from beautiful, sunny, gorgeous South Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
I am looking out the window at this view, Stephen, and I am just, it's breathtaking.
Jill and I are on vacation, but sort of not. This is what we always do.
Here we are recording on vacation.
We're recording on vacation. We're having a lot of fun. We're looking at real estate. And this has been our life since we met.
Yeah.
And so it turns out, this long before we even started Land Academy, it turns out people have some fascination with this.
What, real estate?
Just with our silly little, like, the way we do stuff.
Oh.
It still just cracks me up.
This is true.
Lake Tahoe. And Nevada has a 0% income tax. You don't file a tax. I don't know if you do file a tax return here or not. California's is 13%. So if you make $1 million in real estate, you pay $130,000
in income taxes.
In income tax in California, and you pay exactly zero in Nevada.
Right.
Nevada's actual real estate property tax rate is literally higher than California's. Properties cost so much less that it ends up being, from a money standpoint, way less. So
works.
That's why we're here.
Yes.
Plus, we're not suffering from lack of fun.
Exactly.
Before we get into the topic, today's topic is accumulating equity in real estate wholesaling. Wow. Could that be any more generic?
Oh my goodness. Exactly. I'm sure we have a lot of listeners that sought that out.
I promise you we will make this fun.
Okay.
I promise.
You promise me?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
I promise. The three or four people that are listening to this.
Oh, good.
Before we get into the topic, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Andrew asks, I'm having trouble targeting an area by APNs for my next mailer that I entered into CoreLogic with RealQuest Pro, which we provide. I was wondering if someone else had experienced sending mailers out by APN. How successful and resourceful is it? What is the next best option? Can I explain an APN?
Yes, that's your parcel number. So what he's doing is probably taking one of the suggestions that I've been making over the years, and actually in the education material that we provide, and looking at APNs, assessor parcel numbers, and doing a micro mailer. Go ahead.
And one of the
she raised her hand just like we're
I
in class.
I did. One of the things, an APN, every property has an APN, an assessor's parcel number. That's how it's tracked for taxes and everything. Now, not every property has an address. That's why this is important. So a lot of the properties that we deal with, we wholesale the rural vacant land, they don't have an address. There's no mailbox. There's no doormat. There's no front door. There's no way to have a package delivered. You can't. Wouldn't that be
funny?
It's
a unique identifier.
Could you imagine? Yeah. That actually would be kind of funny. I'm going to order Amazon. I'm going to see if I could order an Amazon package, and since there's no street address, prop an APN in there and see if they could find
those poor people.
It would be.
Every time I see Amazon delivery people, I'm like, man, I want to give them a thing of water or something and say, you
I
know
do
what?
Sometimes.
You are overworked.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just sit there and say, this is endless. When does this end?
It's
when do people stop ordering stuff? When can I just take a break?
Yes.
To all you delivery people out there, my hat's off to you.
Yes, but I wanted to just explain, and so I'm thinking I'm thinking Andrew might be trying to do a strategy like, we know when you get into this and you really start studying a county and studying an area, you know a certain APN scheme is tied to a certain subdivision.
That's correct, Jill.
Or tied to an area over here that the values are traditionally higher, whatever you're
right.
searching for. So that's probably what Andrew's trying to do, is just kind of really hit those properties based on the APN scheme, which is so pro-level stuff.
This is a good question for the show.
Jump on the Jack and Steven bandwagon here, but you know, when you get into this and you start thinking like this, Andrew, it's awesome.
Yeah, that you're accumulating equity for sure.
Exactly.
So what he's trying to do is accurately price a real estate mailer. If you listen to the show at all, or if you're actually a Land Academy member, you know that pricing is something that is imperative. And so you live and die by how you price your offer campaign. And so if you can fill up a data set with very like-kind properties, houses or land, that are close together, which usually means consecutive APNs, you can really price it. For instance, on land, you could price it at X per acre, let's say $850 an acre, some number like that, for APN scheme 103 through 107, because mm-hmm. it's all kind of mapped out in the same area and price the same. So you're going to get a much higher yield on a mailer campaign where you really think about it, like Andrew's doing here.
I love it.
So yes, I have used APNs, an APN scheme for mailers, but be careful. So there's a lot of other factors to scrub out while you're doing that. You don't want to, I see a lot of new people specifically missing a lot of opportunity because they're too hyper-focused on, they take a rifle approach, not a shotgun approach. And I think the shotgun approach, you need to do a balance, you mm-hmm. know?
I like this. I think this is a targeted approach versus zip code. If you're just, that's
yeah,
the beauty
yes.
of what.
That's too,
what,
too far toward shotgun, yeah.
Thank you. What Andrew's doing here. Thank you for not just going, I'm going to hit the zip code. Because you could be sending out mailers to the wrong people because you really can't accurately price a whole zip code the same way.
Right.
But what you're doing, Andrew, and hitting the APN scheme and really getting into it is awesome. And I think I'd say don't stop. Keep going.
We just looked at, Jill and I just passed through an area in Nevada called Gardnerville, which is just east of, it's all packed with ranches and subdivisions. It's kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
It's a real estate person's dream. And I just, while we, before the
east
show,
Jill, where we are in Tahoe.
Yeah, we're in Lake Tahoe. So, mm-hmm. yeah, east of Lake Tahoe. Thank you. And Jill was doing a Facebook Live thing, so I had 20 or 30 minutes to kill, and I priced out all the ranches that are on the MLS on my phone. And it's crazy. The variance mm-hmm. is, because there's really good water here, so there's all kinds of stuff being grown and ranched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great place to send a mailer. Because you know, I've seen property anywhere from $10,000 an acre, all the way down to vacant land that's it looks like it's got most of it's got water on it. You have to confirm that before you buy it, but
right.
down to less than $1,000 an acre.
It's amazing.
That's on the MLS, so that tells me if you send an offer campaign out.
Oh yes.
Around I'm not going to price it for you, but you're going to get it for half of probably the lowest price that's on the MLS.
That's the point here. That's why we're doing this. Like
yeah.
It's not MLS pricing ever.
Right. That's right. That's
not
top,
the goal,
tip,
man.
Top of the
MLS pricing is retail, not on sale. Boy, I hope some sucker pays this. That's
wow.
MLS. I hate to say it, but isn't that true?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not even Walmart.
It's not accurate.
It's not Walmart retail. It's like
Nordstrom retail.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's even higher than that. Well, Nordstrom's the one that's crazy expensive. You walk in there and it's like a t-shirt. It's $800.
Like Neiman Marcus.
Yeah, it's like Neiman Marcus retail.
What was the other one? Was it Barney or whatever?
Barney's.
That? Yeah.
Neiman Marcus is funny.
Yeah. But like
sweatshirts.
I'm not spending $1,000 for a t-shirt. I'm sorry.
And that's what's listed in the MLS. And that's where everybody buys stuff. And that's probably why you're listening to this, to not be a sucker, as Jill says.
Thank you.
Don't be a sucker, please. Today's topic, accumulating equity in real estate wholesaling. This is the meat of the show. So, as promised, I'm going to keep this not boring.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm absolutely sure.
Well, I have some questions. May I ask a question
sure.
first of all?
Sure. This is
all
a good
right,
way to do
so
it.
Equity. Commit equity in your real estate wholesaling. It's kind of a generic topic, and I think, which is great. I can ask you all kinds of questions, and I can't be wrong. So there you go. So are you talking short-term equity, long-term equity, my whole business equity? What should I be thinking about?
Let's
Jack,
super quickly Steven? Define equity the way an accountant would. Assets, the stuff you own, like your house, minus liabilities, the money that you owe on the house, equals equity. You may have equity in the form of cash in a safe, or in a bank account, or value in a real estate, in a piece of real estate that's not necessarily cash, which means you own a property, let's say, let's simplify it, with no debt on it. So there's value in that. It's not cash in the bank yet, but it's got some equity. That's what I'm talking about, accumulating equity in real estate. Here's how you do it. You buy a piece of property, or here's how we do it correctly. And we've done it spent a lot of time doing it incorrectly, so I feel qualified to say this. Buy a piece of property.
Yeah.
Buy a nice looking ranch in Gardnerville, Nevada for $100,000 from somebody who just doesn't want it anymore. Mm-hmm. Not from somebody on the MLS or Neiman Marcus. For $100,000, when you know darn well it's worth $350,000.
Right.
It's probably worth $600,000, but you're going to sell it for $350,000 because that's how you roll. and you're going to move right on to the next deal. That's accumulating equity in real estate wholesaling. You buy for a ranch for 100 grand. It's worth 350. I mean, it's worth 700. You sell it for 350 because you're that kind of person. You don't maximize value at every single real estate deal the way a real estate agent does.
Right.
You don't try to get top dollar for real estate. You want to move it, move it, move it.
Yeah, your heart's, you know, that saying we haven't brought up in a while, but we all know the saying, you're either going to win emotionally or financially. You're not going to get both. What we're doing here is nothing emotional. It's only financial. And you have to, I love the way you explain that, Stephen, where you have to see it as a line item on a spreadsheet, and that's it. And you know, when you're purchasing it, I mean, you're running to the bank because you know what you're paying for. The minute it's in your name, you have equity. You've created positive equity because it's already worth more than you just paid.
Right. So here, let's do some math on that little ranch deal in Nevada. You buy it for 100 grand. You borrow money from yourself or from your wife or from somewhere. You get 100 grand. We borrow it from ourselves. We immediately sell it, usually before we even fund it, for 350. We know it's worth 700 or 600 or 500. And we go to the closing and we get $350,000. We put the $100,000 back because you never want to expense equity.
Right.
That's a little advanced, but don't worry about it. Now you have $250,000 to play with. You can do it two more times now.
Right.
And at the end of that, so you go buy two more 100, probably on the same mailer, two more $100,000 ranches. You sell them both for 300. Let's just round it off. And now you're no longer paying yourself back. The thing's just funding itself. And now you got $500,000 in the bank.
What if I can't double my money, Stephen? What if I can buy a $100,000 ranch and I can only make $50,000 on it? It's worth $250. I got someone that'll do that. You know, or you know what I mean?
That's fine.
That's what I wanted to say. Sometimes we talk these big numbers and I don't want people to get discouraged because I think you can still do well making $50,000 on a transaction. It doesn't have to be double your money.
Well, here's
it's
the most
still worth it.
Here's the most recent infill lot land deal that Joe and I did, changing gears now.
Thank you.
Not ranches, but this is an infill lot in Mesa, Arizona. We purchased a property for $12,500 and we immediately sold it to a buyer, a in-town buyer back pocket that we have in our back pocket for $29,000, $30,000. We more than doubled our money. Would I have sold that property for $12,900 if I knew I was going to, just this is all cash, there's no contingencies, there's none of that malarkey that we always talk about that you don't want to get involved in. Would I have sold that property for $22,000? Heck yes. Mm-hmm. Would I have sold it for 20? Yeah.
Thank you. These are all good numbers and all good returns. And so I want people to just be realistic, especially when you're starting out, you know, and I know this week is not about people starting out, but I see this week and your real estate investment career here as your numbers are going to really start to change depending on your property types, and you're not always going to double your money. For example, that there's a guy in our building that I mentored, so funny, very casually, kind of pointed the guy in the right direction.
This is a perfect example because you need to do the numbers on this deal, this guy's deal.
Yes, it
in
was
our
like
office building.
This guy just came up to introduce himself one day.
Agent.
Really, he is. He's a real estate broker, and he's like, "What do you guys do?" He's just kind of saying hi. We're the new people in the building. And then we start talking. He's like, "What?" Anyway, I started to steer the guy in the right direction, got him some access. He had temporary access into RealQuest Pro.
Not from us.
Through a family member.
He's not even a member.
But what's funny is it got shut down. So he's going to be with... He's
oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, he's waiting for House Academy. He's like, "I want to do your House Academy." I'm like, "All right, hold on. We're going to still set you up here." So it's so funny. Anyway, it was a simple little... $1 million house worth 1.4 or 1.5 easy. He made $100,000 on it. Let's just call it that. It was a 1.1 purchase transaction. He sold it before it was, you know, anything was done. He made $100,000 and he's thrilled.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of not even coming close to doubling your money, but that's cash money.
Exactly.
That's more than most people. That's more than 95% of the people in this country make a year.
Right.
And salary.
And that was his net. That's like done, aside from all the other costs, you know, everything. So, yep.
Okay, so what's the big point here? Here, the name of the show is Accumulating Equity in Real Estate Wholesaling. So what's the deal? You cannot accumulate equity. This is the meat of the show. So please, this is where you
take
if
notes.
You've listened to our malarkey this far, just remember this sentence. If you are going to maximize revenue on each deal, like every single real estate agent on the planet says, oh, no, I can get more money out of that for you. You are not going to accumulate equity.
Right.
It takes too long and it's too much work. The only way, the best way to accumulate equity is to buy a property for less than it's worth immediately. You immediately walk right into an equity position. That's the technical term, air quotes, equity position. And then you do it again, and then you do it again, and you do it again. You don't wait a year to get the most you possibly can.
Right.
And then people, there's mortgages, and there's just so much possibility for failure. Here's another way to not accumulate equity. And this is what everybody thinks how you're going to accumulate equity. I buy an apartment building, or I buy a house, I rent it out. I rent out all to the renters. I raise their rent, and I wait. I wait for inflation to go up 3% a year, and 10 years later, this building's going to be worth, and you know what? That's all correct. But you
hopefully.
Know how many properties you could have flipped in 10 years?
Hopefully.
My way or our way?
It's not foolproof.
Yeah, and all kinds of stuff can happen.
Things can happen. Didn't we just talk to a guy the other day? Everybody's making interest rate guesses about how things are going to start changing. You know,
there's so many factors you can't control.
Uh-huh.
It's a full-blown bird in the hand situation.
You want equity today, not in 5 years.
Yeah,
10
you
years.
Want to. Plus, you're listening to the show because you're a deal junkie like us. You want to just sell it, buy it. Yeah.
I'm slapping my wrist like I'm a junkie. That's going to be our new little...
I'll slap your wrist.
Thank you. Oh, boy. On that note. Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another, I don't know how many minutes.
I lost my place.
Listening to the Land Academy show.
Join us tomorrow for another interesting episode where we discuss planning for retirement and working the numbers backward. And this week, the theme this week is your real estate investment career. So it's all centered around doing these deals.
And we answer your questions, should you have one, posted on our online community. It's Land, if you can find it off landacademy.com or go straight there, it's landinvestors.com, and it is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. I think we made our point.
Well, I gotta tell you, I see why you lost your place, because it's very distracting where we are.
We're sitting
so
right
darn beautiful.
Lake Tahoe here.
I am, okay, I'm staring at a couple of sea-doos out there whipping it up, which we're going to do in about an hour.
As soon as we're done recording.
And then I just watched about, it looks like the midnight roll in, a good 40, 45 foot. It went to the left there. Center console just rolled by me, too.
We have some friends who have center console yachts. Technically, that's what they are.
Uh-huh. I think I just saw one. I can't wait to get out on this lake. Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and
inspiration
to buy undervalued property.